this hymn in the psalm is actually a congregational hymn. It's what in theological terms, the Old Testament theology, it's a communal hymn. It was something that was sung by all the people. And it was something that would be sung in rejoicing, no matter what they were doing or where they were going. How do we know that? Well, we know it because the real first verse, some of you have heard me talk about this before, what you have as the first verse in your Bibles, translations, English translations, and this is consistent, by the way, actually the second verse in the Hebrew. The first verse is that little title. It's full, it's distinctive, and it's intended to be part of the psalm. And so the first verse says, "For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song not to be sung by one person, but by the entire congregation." Oh, form of a prayer. Now, it doesn't always have to be a song. That was its intent. And a prayer can be a song. Sometimes you may find yourself so enamored with God, so full of spirit, you just want to sing out praise. You're doing it in prayer as well. You'll hear this music in today's music that Janet's playing. The song, it's a contemporary. How great is God? How great is God? That actually is also a prayer. Because part of prayer is acknowledging who God is. To describe to him, not that he doesn't know, to demonstrate that we know who God is. Oh God, you are sovereign. You who are omniscient, knowing all the thoughts of our minds and the intents of our hearts. That's acknowledging who God is. That's a wonderful salutation. It's the kind of thing that you would look at and know that it's not a Jesus is our good buddy type song. Now, there's nothing wrong with that as long as the remainder of the words actually have some scriptural identification. But there's something about the reverence in the Lutheran Church, in the Anglican Church, in the Roman Catholic Church, the liturgy, and even in many Methodist churches, I shouldn't leave them out, the liturgies are intended to be reverent. They're intended to acknowledge that we come before a holy God, the holy God, the creator of the universe. If you were invited to the White House to see the president, whether you like the president or not, you would be very respectful because of the office of the presidency. That's what that person holds. I had the opportunity to hear several presidents over the years, and I even got to sit on the dais with one of them. It was funny. I did not realize that particular meeting was being televised live, and I heard about it later on. My dad said I was sitting on the couch, and there didn't seem to be anything else on, and I was flipping channels, and I came across this thing for the president. It was President George W. And he said, "I came across this thing, President. I'm looking there." And there you were, sitting at the table with the president. And he says, so I watched and I listened. He called mom. He says, you got to see Steve sitting with the president. My mom wanted to know if my dad was smoking something, which she should have known he quit smoking before that. But he may have had a little bit of help. Anyway, the point being that I didn't care which president it was. When they played Hail to the Chief, just goosebumps all over. And I stood. And when they finished playing it, we all applauded. It didn't matter what party you were with. It's about being an American. You know? Well, the same thing when you go to God in prayer. It doesn't matter what denomination you are. In many ways, it doesn't matter whether you are Jewish or Christian. You are worshiping the same Yahweh. And it should give you goosebumps all over. And we should realize that we are in the presence of that person who deserves our reverence and respect. Let's jump into the psalm here. First, I want you to notice that the psalmist makes petitions to God for us. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Then verse 3 and 4a, may the peoples praise you, God, all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. Moving forward to verse 5. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. And then verse 7. May God bless us still. These are petitions. These are going to God and acknowledging that we need him. You know, I can't understand how people can go through life today with all the distress and all of the confusion and all of the violence that is out there and all the wars that are around us, around the world. And well, we could go on and on. How do you deal with that and not have God to go to? How do you deal with that? I don't understand it. I really don't. How do you deal with that if you're somebody who says, well, this life is it. I'm here, then I'm not. Really? Really? Why are you here? Well, we won't get into that. It is clear that the psalmist knows Elohim, God Almighty, and he knows that he is for God for any blessing that he may have. It's clear that the psalmist is not interested in other human beings, just God's. If we have a shortcoming today, our shortcoming is that we are too easily flattered. We are too easily drawn to want others to look at us and say, oh, wow, you're just wonderful. Now, I'm no different than anybody else. Somebody goes, oh, wow, you're really wonderful. True. More. Yeah. You know, it's easy for us to get caught up in that. It is easy for us to look for the blessing of other human beings, but not the psalmist. The psalmist gives us a focus that is important for us today. He wants God's blessing, not only for himself, but for those around him. This is communal. These are for, in our situation, brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants blessing, but he's not so self-centered and so selfish that he doesn't, think about others. He does. You know, I want us all to bless. I want us all to enjoy what God has given for us. How do we know it's a communal blessing? Because he uses the plural for us. As implication, us could be those who sing the song, those who read the psalm, both then and now. It could be about Israel and the world around them who will be blessed when Israel decides to be attentive and submissive to God and thus be the recipients of his blessing. It is also clear that the petition for God's blessing is in recognition of God's actions and God's merit, not our own. Not our own. In Deuteronomy 6:4-6, this is called the Shema, because the first word is Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Your hearts. God doesn't really ask that much of us. I mean, he gives us commandments and he gives ethical guidelines and moral guidelines to follow. But it really is wrapped up in those two commandments that we say every Sunday. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That is every aspect of your being. And he says in 4b, why? Why can we go to God with this? For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Now, I know sometimes it doesn't look like God's nations. God does allow stuff to happen. He does allow those who rebel against him to rebel for a time. Some of you had teenagers. My blessing upon you for getting through that time. I don't know that I've told you my theological theory about puberty. It's of the devil. God never intended puberty to be part of the plan. That came about as part of the fall. Anyway, you know, when you look at that and you see what God is doing, sometimes you have that same situation where a teenager is just bound and determined they're going to do it. Now, you can fight with them over it. You know, and you might think you win. But how often did you discover that they did it anyway? We do that too. We do that with God. God says to us, here are things that you shouldn't do. Why? Is that because we must pull the fun out of our lives? No, because they're dangerous. It's like telling people they shouldn't drink and drive. Are we trying to take the fun out of their lives? No, we're trying to save their lives and anybody else that they might encounter. God does the same thing. And he rules everybody equally with equity. You have one rule for somebody and another rule for somebody else. Now he tells the people, you are my chosen people, and I want you to do these things. Why? So that they can influence the rest of the world. He doesn't say you're special and you only do these things and just ignore everybody else, which they kind of did. He goes on in verse 6a, and he says, the land yields its harvest. It's because of God's grace that they have their harvest. God set up the conditions for growing and harvesting. Now, any of you that grew up on a farm, you know that farming is tough. In fact, it's beyond tough. Talk about not understanding how to make it. Farming is one of those. Now, I don't know. There probably are, but I don't know that I've ever met a farmer who didn't have faith, who didn't depend on the fact that, yeah, I know, I'm going to plant this, and I'm counting on a crop. And I'm counting on the rain to come at the right time and the sun to be there at the right time. And verse 6 says, the land yields its harvest, and it yields that harvest because of God's grace. Going to Joel, he says, be glad, verse 23. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He says to Israel through Joel, there will be a time when you will not go through these famines, you will not go through these periods of drought. You will have early rains. And not only will you have rains, you will also find that your threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. He recognizes that there are tough times for farmers. But he's going to, when he realizes that Israel has turned to him and come to him in faith, believing, then he will bless them. We realize, as in James 1:17, that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I once had somebody ask me, should I thank God for a green light? I said, why not? You know, praise God, I had a green light. I didn't have to stop. Because this light, when it turns red, stays there and stays there and stays there. Give thanks to God for that. When you come up to a red light, it's not God's fault. The fault of the traffic engineer who tried to figure out a way to do the lights. But there's no reason not to thank God and to thank him always. Second, not only does the psalmist make petitions to God for his blessing, he explains the reason behind the petitions. Verses 1 and 2 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways, Elohim, may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. This is what God wanted all along from Israel. He chose a people so that they could demonstrate to other nations that the only God, the true, the living God, the God who created all things, should be followed and should be revered. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The Lord God said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth be blessed through you. That's what God wanted out of Israel. He said, I want you to be blessing. And they had a lot of difficulty doing that throughout the years and the ages and the decades and the millennia. And God said, this is what I want from you. Where's the application for us? Well, we're Christians. Jesus has come, so we're already in. Pull up the moat. No. He has something he wants for us as well. He has something for us. You see, the world was to see the nation of Israel as something different, drawn and directed by himself. That's us. He wants us to be holy. James repeats, as I said last week, James repeats the same thing that's said in the Old Testament. Be holy, for I am holy. Now, we know we can't be, but he wants us to strive for that. That is our goal. The Israelites, they were to realize that the idols that they worshipped and that the world worshipped were nothing more than human-made images that could offer nothing. We find that in abundance today. There are so many human-made idols. You get into your pocket or your pocketbook or whatever and pull out one of those paper things that has old precedence on it. Money is an idol. Cars are an idol. Well, for some people, cars are an idol. For some people, they are, in fact, just a means of transportation. The problem is that he wants us to demonstrate the differences between those thus who are led by God and those who see no God but the their own desires. Third, not only does he make petitions for God for his blessing, not only does he explain the reason behind the petitions, he reaffirms it all with the Aaronic blessing. First one, be, and make his face to shine upon us. If you look at Numbers in your Bible, and there are Bibles in the pew, if you look at Numbers 6, 22-27, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you bless the people of Israel. You shall say this to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You see, it was the duty of the priests to bless the people, to remind them that they are gods. They are gods, and they can be blessed. And it's God who. So the psalm is an identical recitation of the Aaronic blessing. Implication is strong. The Israelites who heard this would have immediately gone to it because they'd heard it all the time. Now, you're probably thinking, what's all this stuff have to do with us? Isn't it just Old Testament stuff? Well, I want to remind you that the Old Testament is an equal part of our scripture. Our message may be directed specifically to Israel. Since it is from God, there are implications that reach beyond specific times and peoples. Having said that, Please remember this. You cannot interpret the New Testament in today's environment to mean something that it didn't mean to the first readers. The same thing is true of the Old Testament. You cannot read the Old Testament and interpret it to be something today that it didn't mean for those readers. Now, the way it means it is going to be different because we're in a totally different environment. You know, they had motorcycles, but they didn't have cars. Did you know that? It says, and Moses entered on his triumph. I know, that was really bad. Okay, anyway. The point is that we can still look and interpret and understand Scripture within the context of our daily lives. But you have to be careful when you do that. Likewise, we should too, in our prayers, make petitions to God for his blessing. Not because of anything special that we've done, but because he and he alone blesses us in all aspects. Notice the Aaronic blessing. What does it say? The Lord bless you and keep you. It's not Steve when he does the Aaronic blessing. It's not, and I bless you. The only time that has any validity is if you. It's not me. It's not Mal. It's not Francis. It's not any of us who are ordained who have any power to bless you beyond God's blessing. As I said earlier, the means by which God shares his blessing. Also, not only should we, in our prayers, make petitions to God for his blessing, we are also to be witnesses to all the world. And in this, Jesus was very specific. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus called to them. Came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. As we contemplate what God has done for us, we can remember that the Lord blesses us and he keeps us. The Lord does make his face to shine upon us and he is gracious to us, and that the Lord will lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace, a peace that is beyond all human understanding. You pray about that. Amen.